I'm going to bring you a message this morning that it's probably a little bit raw, to be honest with you, because it's something that God has been kind of working out in me. So some of it, just to be candid with you, I think I might be working it out as I'm sharing it with you. Is that okay this morning?
Yes.
Just say yes, I'm going to do it anyway. Is that okay this morning?
Yes.
Okay, are you guys awake this morning? I had to wake you up for worship. You're not talking to me. Is that okay this morning?
Yes.
There we go. Okay, I heard you that time. So the title of this message is No Sacred Cows. And really what's been going on inside of my heart is God has been really challenging me to look at things that I hold near and dear and say, is that really what I hold near and dear? Or is it something that you're valuing too high where you need to just hold it more loosely? Anybody experiencing anything like that? Like things that you really like, I'm super passionate about this with God, and God saying, but I want you not to be so passionate about it. And that's a lot of what's been going on in me. And last weekend at the elders retreat, I brought that up with the guys, and we were talking and praying, and really what I realized was this is probably a message that needs to come to the church. And as I was praying about it, I just felt like the Lord said, share it. And I said, God, I feel like it's really raw. Like I don't have my brain around it quite enough to share it. And he said, I want you to do it anyways, because it'll meet people with some of the struggles that they're facing. Now, I just want to open up by saying this. How many of you guys would say this? That hearing the voice of God and following his direction is one of the most difficult things to do in your faith. Like knowing that you know that it's God. Not just making decisions and like, I hope this is God, here I go. But actually listening, getting direction, getting his wisdom. If I were honest, I've been walking with the Lord a lot of years. If I was honest, that is the hardest thing for me. Because the truth is this, I don't want to do things that are, well, a waste of time or give me a lap in the desert. How many of you guys like doing laps? You're a weirdo if you do. We'll pray for you now. No one likes doing extra energy to do bad decisions, to have to undo or redo those bad decisions. And what I found in my own life is that hearing and discerning the voice of God is maybe one of the most difficult things to do. And so as I was just praying through this and thinking about it, what God kept putting like in front of me was, James, you've got some things that you're holding on to that I don't want you to anymore. And then he said, and so do people in your church. And I want them to consider holding a little bit looser some of the things that they're holding on to. You know, how many of you guys really, really, really like to be in control? Come on, you can all raise your hands because everybody likes to be in control. Listen, do you know that, like think like this. Let's say you were going to have a party and you're inviting all your closest friends over. When you invite your closest friends over, you're like, well, they're like my BFFs. Like the house can look okay, but it doesn't need to look spotless, does it? Like they'll know you got kids and they'll give some allowances. But if you said this, I'm inviting the church over for a small group. Oh, and I heard pastor's going to come. This really happened one time. This is a true story. We got invited to go have dinner with a family from church. A really sweet couple. They're actually down at East Avenue now. And we came over, and she was so dutiful to make everything perfect, and she overcooked the roast. And she was like, I'm so sorry. I mean, she's like literally almost in tears. And I'm like, just cut me a chunk of meat. We're good. You know, I'm like, because I'm so not pretentious. But a lot of times we're so worried about controlling everything. And then you think, oh, man, my kids are going to be here. And my kids are, well, they're my kids, and I know how my kids behave. And they may not behave the way that I want them to behave. And we want to control everything. Anybody else like this? See, can I suggest to you this, that control is the thing that hinders you from moving where God is moving, maybe more than any other single thing in your life. Control moves you out of faith into fear. Moves you out of faith and into anxiety. Control has you doing things that are crazy and calling them God. Is that nuts? You guys ever slapped a scripture on something that you want to be God, but it's not? Okay, I'm the only sinner in the room. I've done that before. So listen, open up your Bibles, Exodus chapter 32. And I want to set the backdrop for this. Now, this is the story of Moses. And Moses is leading the people out of what?
Egypt.
Okay, well, one person knows their Bible. Moses is leading the people out of what? Egypt, which is slavery, right? They're in slavery. Now, listen, Dave said this last week. I want to say this to you. Get out of Bible study mode for a second, just for a second with me. And I want you to think like this. Okay, you got Moses. Moses, they tried to kill. He gets rescued and raised in Pharaoh's house. Supernatural. God thing, right? Then Moses is chilling in the desert and a bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed. And God speaks to him from the bush. Anybody had any burning bushes? Okay, no. So listen, let me get you out of Bible study mode. Imagine that that's happening. And God says, I want you to go. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. And I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. We've all seen Charlton Heston, right? Let my people go. And so imagine you're a guy. You don't feel very strong. You're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to say, let my people go. And God says, listen, you're going to do this. And he's going to say what? No. And you're going to tell him, listen, I'm going to put 10 plagues on you from God, which, by the way, all those plagues represent Egyptian gods. And it's God's way of declaring, I'm more powerful than all of your gods. And he's still going to say what? No. And now you're going to take these people who don't really want to leave, because when you're a slave, you get familiar with being a slave and it becomes normal. So you don't even understand that freedom's important. So there, you know, he leads them across the Red Sea. You got the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. People are thirsty. They're grumbling. A little water from a rock. They stop grumbling. A little manna from heaven. I don't like manna anymore. We want meat so we can eat. You know, quail comes. You know, God is supernatural. Now, listen, out of Bible study mode, you ready? I want to take all of you on a journey. We're all going to get in our cars when we're done. And we're going to head up to the high desert. We're going to go right outside of Apple Valley where there's nothing. You guys know it, like heading toward Death Valley. And by the way, you're all in. You know why you're all in? Because if you stay, someone's going to kill you. This is the picture. Stay in Egypt, die. Go with me, live. Okay, so we're all going to go up to the high desert. Like, we kind of like make this so like, it's such a pretty story in Charlton Heston. It's not like that. Now, you're out in the desert with me, and we're hoofing it through the desert. How long were they hoofing it through the desert before God gave them the Ten Commandments? They were in the desert a total of 40 years. When God gives them the Ten Commandments, it's 3 months. Okay, so listen, we're going to a place that we don't know what the place is. And by the way, you're all following me because God said it. And we're going to just walk for 3 months and just see where God leads us. How does that sound to you guys? Sounds pretty lame, doesn't it? And now, mind you, it's raining now, but for them, it was probably quite hot. That's why they needed a cloud. And they're hoofing it in the desert, and there's no water. They got to trust God, provision. They're like, man, can't we just go back to Egypt and leeks and onions on the Nile? Can't we just go do that? But you're out in the desert, and you're hoofing it, and you're waiting for God to lead you. And now, mind you, in this three-month journey, I come to you guys and I say, hey, God wants us to go up to Sinai. We're all going to hike up the mountain. You guys like hiking? Some of you are like, no. That's why I come to church dressed pretty. I don't like to hike. But you're going to go hike the mountain. You're at Sinai. You're going to go hike the mountain. And you go, let's all go up. And you look at the mountain, but the fire of God's on the mountain. So the whole mountain's on fire. And there's clouds. And there's lightning bolts and thunder. And it's probably scary. And I'm like, just come on, let's go talk to God. Who's coming? The answer is none of you, because you do just like the people did. Hey, Mo, you go talk to God. We'll hang out here. You just come back and tell us what he said. That's what they did. So Moses goes up the mountain. God gives him the Ten Commandments. By the way, little trivia nugget. Never noticed this before. Been studying the Bible a long time. The Ten Commandments, the two tablets, were written on front and back. I never noticed that before. Just, you know, if you play Bible trivia, there you go. You have an answer to a question. So they were written on front and back. So he comes down the mountain, and this is where we pick up chapter 32. Now, when he was on the mountain, how long was he gone on the mountain? 40 days. How many days did Jesus fast? 40. They were on Moses on the mountain 40 days. So we're in the desert 3 months. I'm the leader. I took you out because God said, I take off for 40 days. What do you guys think you're doing? Yeah, part of you freaking out is what you're doing. Like, there's no leader. Why are we out here? How come God took us here? This is the backdrop for chapter 32. So let's read a few verses. I'll break them down for you. Verse 1 of chapter 32, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, tear off your gold rings, which are on your ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. Then all of the people tore off the gold rings, which were on their ears, and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand, and he fashioned it with graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. So the next day they rose early, they offered burnt offerings, and they brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. The Lord said to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, and they've worshipped it, sacrificed to it, and said, this is our God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, when I read this story, I can put myself into this story so easily. It says that when they looked and they saw that Moses had taken off and he hadn't come back, that he delayed to return. Now, delay at face value just means what? To take more time. Take more time. In the Hebrew, it actually means to cause shame or to be ashamed. So the idea is this, that the delay causes us to be anxious. How many of you guys get anxious when you got to wait? Come on, we all get anxious. And sometimes we make decisions that either bring shame on us or on God. That's what the people did. So they're freaking out, they're worried. Now I got a question for you. Had they seen the hand of God? Did they experience, watch, did they experience God's deliverance? Like, did they see God take them out of Egypt, Pharaoh saying no, 10 plagues, lead them across the Red Sea, water closes back up, drowns all of the Egyptian soldiers? Did they see the deliverance of God? Okay, so I got a question for you. Have you seen the deliverance of God? The answer is yes. Now, maybe you didn't have the Red Sea part and drown a whole bunch of soldiers, but God took you out of death and put you into what? Life. He took you out of darkness, put you into light. Every single one of us has the opportunity to look back at our lives and say, we were this, and God has made us to become this. He delivered us. They experienced deliverance, but they still made a calf. It doesn't make any sense. Just like sometimes when we do crazy things, it doesn't make any what? We just do wacky and wild things sometimes. Now, did they experience the provision of God? Or did they get water when they were thirsty? Okay, you guys are flat. Did they get water when they were thirsty? Yes. Did God give them bread from heaven? Yes. Did he give them quail when they were hungry? Yes. Did he provide what they needed? Yes. But they still made a calf. Doesn't make sense, does it? Or does it? It kind of does. Like, if you think about your own heart, it's not too difficult to consider moving away from God just at the flash. Little whim, little bit of impatience, little bit of being impetuous or moving too fast. How about his presence? Was his presence with them? Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. He was with them, wasn't he? What? Is God with you guys? In fact, it's even so different now that not only is God with you, he's actually like in you. I love saying this to Christians. No one likes this. You know you're possessed. You really are. By the Spirit of God, you're literally possessed. He indwells you. He lives inside of you. So his presence never, ever leaves you. Never goes away. I know I say that and people go, why did you have to use that word, Pastor? It's just so demonic. No, let's just go with the story. God lives in you, amen? And his presence is always with you. And he's always leading you from glory to glory, from thing to thing, to the next. But watch, do all of us get antsy? How many of you guys are good at waiting? I'm glad you're all honest. Oh, wow, I'm going to have an altar call right now for you. No. Truth is, no one's good at waiting, right? We all get anxious. We all get antsy. Listen to me. Can I suggest something to you? That the majority of problems you have in your life, if not all of them, come out of a lack of patience. Moving ahead of God. Moving too soon. Making decisions when God is not leading. Not waiting and listening for his voice and his direction. Now, I'll tell you what, the biggest mistakes I've made in my life were because I moved on my own ideas. I moved on my own wisdom. I moved on my own resources. I didn't wait for God to say. Now listen. This is the craziest thing about God. You'll appreciate this, I think. Craziest thing about God is he will generally ask you to do the thing that makes absolutely no sense. You'd be like, oh, God, if I do that, then what about, and he goes, yeah, but that's what I want you to do. And a lot of times, the reason we don't do it is because it doesn't make sense. But the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. And this is what I've been wrestling with. God saying, you've got some things that you're hanging on to that I want you to let go of. Oh, and by the way, there's people in your church that are struggling with the same thing. So I want you to bring this message to them and encourage them. See, when you delay, you postpone, you bring shame on yourself, on God. See, impatience, it'll always lead you away from God into sin. Patience will always lead you to depend on God. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It will have you resting in what God wants you to do. Psalm 25, 2 through 5, it says this. It says, oh my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. None of those who wait for you will be what? Ashamed. None of those who wait for you will be what?
Ashamed.
See, listen, if you don't ever want to bring shame on yourself or God, you just need to learn how to do what?
Wait.
Waiting's hard. That's hard business. It takes discipline to wait. It takes timing to wait. Okay, so let's jump back in, back to chapter 32. Of Exodus. It says that Aaron said to them, tear off your earrings, the gold. Now, I've got a question for you. Why gold? Why earrings? And come on, church, why gold? Why earrings? Watch, let me say it like this. Why not necklaces and bracelets and anklets? Why not all of the gold? Why gold? Why earrings? Gold's the most precious silver, represents royalty. King, like if you look at the temple, all of the holy elements were either made of gold or overlaid in gold. It's considered a royal metal, if you will. Why earrings? Slavery? I don't think that's why. They were slaves and they did have earrings, but why earrings? What do we do with our ears, church? Ah, okay, wait. Ding, 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 ding. See, listen, he was saying this. We're going to listen to our own way instead of listening to who? God, give me your earrings. I'm going to make me a calf, and we're going to worship it together. See, listen, when you listen to yourself, your own resources, you will always find yourself getting into trouble. Always, 100% of the time. We listen to people. How many of you guys listen to people? Come on, be honest. My friend said I should do this. My favorite thing, and I love y'all, my favorite thing, people come to me and say, I know the Bible says this, but my friends say to do that. I always look at them and say, your friends are stupid. No, I'm playing. I don't do that. I do say that that's probably bad counsel because what God says is the way to do it. See, but the Bible says this. You guys know what the great Shema is, Deuteronomy chapter 6? It starts by saying this, hear, O Israel. What does he say to do? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. See, what we fail to do is to just stop and listen to God. And what I've been watching my own self do, like, you know, you wouldn't think that, you know, geez, I'm a pastor. Like, I should be smarter than this, right? I should listen to God all the time, right? Come on, you guys aren't shaking your heads, but you all think that because I'm a pastor, right?
Yeah.
The truth is, I do try to listen to God all the time. I do. I'm not lying to you. I really do. But do you think I succeed in that? I'm glad that a few of you have, you know, so you're like sometimes, okay, there's some honest people in here. Truth is, no one succeeds in that 100% of the time. Easy, Kevin, come on, man. She's like, no, I've been around you a few times. I know better. See, the truth is, nobody always has their ear attuned to God. And a lot of times that's external pressure. Sometimes it's the demands of life. There's lots of reasons why we might get antsy, anxious, controlling, fearful, lots of reasons. But the reality is this, that if you don't want to experience all the craziness that comes from being out of control because you didn't want to wait because Moses delayed. The truth is this, that if I said, hey, let's put an idol up on the stage right now and you guys all come worship it, you'd all look at me and go, that's silly, Pastor. I'm not going to come kneel before a statue. If I said, hey, there's a picture of me and my family, and we're the first family of the church, all come kneel before. Like I watched a movie the other day, a guy kissed the Pope's ring. I thought, that's just weird. I understand the honor thing. I grew up Catholic. I get it. But I still think that's weird. No one would do that. Well, maybe it's just a picture of me. No, I'm playing. No one would do that, right? No one would. No one would come up and bow before it. You would always all think this, Pastor, you are what? You're crazy. You lost your mind. But that's because it's so obvious. But what if I said to you this? Some of you do have sacred cows in your life. It's called your profession. It's called your house. Watch. These are good things, by the way, aren't they? Your family. Can your family be a sacred cow? Can you put your family before God? Oh, absolutely. There's all sorts of things. The thing is Christians, most of us don't look at things that are not evil, because none of those things are evil, and think that they could potentially be bad. But the truth is, anything we put before God is what? See, because that great Shema that says, Hear, O Israel, says, you shall worship the Lord your God with everything, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You should put him first. And, you know, we've had several people that are part of our church or people who speak into our church give me prophetic words for what the next year looks like. And every single one of them, not together, separately, has said, you're going to experience a season of releasing in your church that's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Now, that sounds nice, doesn't it? I mean, that, honestly, it makes me go, finally, no, yes. That's kind of how I feel as the leader. But, you know, if it wasn't bearing witness in my own spirit, I wouldn't even say it to you. But if you've been around our church, especially for the last few weeks, there is definitely a shift happening spiritually. How many of you guys can feel that? I mean, there's a shift happening. And there's a release that's coming from God. And I say that to you to help you understand this. You want to move with what God is doing. And in the middle of all this, I tell on myself now. You guys ready? A Pastor James sacred cow. You ready? Thanks, Kathy. I love my front row crowd. It's great. You know, I was in the middle of all of this, you know, as I said, I'm bringing you a message that I'm kind of walking through myself a little bit right now. And over the last like month and a half, 2 months, just in praying, I've been really feeling stirred by God. Like, I need you to listen to me right now. I need you to pay attention. You know, how many of you guys know it's easy to go through the motions of life? See, and as that was happening for me, this is one of the things that God showed me personally. And this might apply to some of you, but the principle I'm sure does. The Lord said, you rely on your experience too much. I went, I rely on my experience too much. And so I, you know, immediately said back to God, well, you put me in those jobs, you know, like a five-year-old. You gave that to me. And the Lord started to say to me, you know, you rely on your ability to manage people. And you guys know, most of you have heard my story. I manage people professionally all my life, not only outside of the church, but within the church I did as well. And because I was an executive pastor and an administrator at a very, very large church, I leaned to being able to make things happen, you know, because, you know, most of you guys know I worked with Pastor Dan, Water of Life, down the street. And Pastor Jan, if you've ever worked, how many of you guys have ever worked for a real visionary, like big thinker? Anybody? Okay, a few of you. So, oh, how sweet. That was awesome. I connected it anyways. Okay, because I know who she's talking about. He's sitting next to her. It's her husband. How cool is that? Okay, so anyways, you work for a big visionary. Big visionaries do stuff like this. I've got this grand idea and we're going to change the world. And then they walk out of the room, and as the administrator, you're left to figure out how to make all that happen. You got to come up with the money, the people, the resources, the travel. That was my job. So I come to pastor the church, and I immediately do what? I switch on the administrator hat because I'm experienced and I'm good at this, and that's what I should do because I'm good at administrating. And God says, you lean to your experience too much. You're not listening the way you used to. And, you know, so you immediately say, nuh-uh, you know, that because you're with God and you're thinking, but you guys know that when God says something like that to you, it's never wrong. Watch. And it's never condemning either. See, because a lot of you, when I say something like that, when God speaks to you that clearly, you think this, I messed up. That's exactly what I felt. I'm like, oh man, God, I blew it again, really? That was my immediate response. And God said, no, you didn't blow it. You're growing. This is called life. Like most of you, many of you are in spots where you have things that are entrusted to you, people that you're responsible for. Maybe it's children in a classroom. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's the resources within a business. Maybe you're a foreman at a job. And when you do badly with that, you feel like you what? Failed. feel like you failed. And that's exactly what I felt. When, you know, God starts to deal with you, you're like, man, God, I blew it again. And again, how many of you guys ever feel this? And again, I messed up. And God said, no, actually, no, you didn't. You've been following me, but I need you to listen and not just do. See, you know that biblically speaking, when it says, hear, O Israel, that means that you should listen and then what? But you should not do and then. Does this make sense? Is anybody tracking with me? Because a lot of us are in spots that are very difficult because we're making decisions without what? Listening. Now, my experience with that is you end up in the middle of something that you're like, how am I going to backpedal out of this? What's awesome about God is he takes your messes and makes them glory. You guys get that? He takes your mistakes and then uses them to be a blessing to somebody else. So I'm with the Lord and I'm thinking, man, God, I blew it again. You know, just relying on my ability to do stuff and make things happen. And basically he said, no, I'm not disappointed in you, but I do need you not to do. I need you to do what? I need you to listen first. I need you to listen. So while I was praying about this, God gave me this phrase. I'm going to read it to you so that I don't mess it up. It says this. It says that God will always use your experiences to accomplish his purposes. In other words, God works in human agency. You guys all understand that. He's going to take the way he wired you, your experiences, your skills, your gifting, and he's going to use them. But watch this. But God will accomplish his purposes regardless of your experiences. He'll use what you bring to the table, but he doesn't want you to lean to yourself. He wants you to lean to who? To him. He wants you to listen, and he wants you to follow where he's going. See, and I didn't realize it, and I don't even know that it was like sin per se. It wasn't like I was going, I'm not going to listen to you, God. It was just you try to make things happen because that's what you're accustomed to doing. Many of you are there. You're doing life. You're just trying to get life done. Look, Pastor, I'm just trying to get up in the morning and get the kids to school. I'm just trying to get food on the table. I'm just trying to make life happen. How many of you guys feel that? Just trying to get through life. It's not like, God, I'm not out there not trying to listen to you, but I'm also not setting time aside to listen to you. And that's the key right there. See, real life with God is born out of intimacy, you guys. It's born out of putting time with him. You know, I had a really weird dream last night, and I don't feel the liberty to share it because I don't think the dream, having the dream is important. But you guys, you know, the 3 o'clock wake-up calls, you guys like those? I was actually kind of mad at God at 3 o'clock this morning because I had the 3 o'clock wake-up call. But you know what was beautiful about it? The 3 o'clock wake-up call was like this really anxious feeling, which I'm not prone to anxiety, not kind of my thing. I'm a doer. There's a problem, I fix it. That's my job. How many of you guys are wired like that? Just tell me what needs to be. There's solutions out there. I'm going to figure out the solution. Well, I woke up and I was just overwhelmed by anxiety. I never feel that way. Actually, I'll tell you a little of the dream. Dream had my son in it, and I thought, and when I woke up, this is what the Lord said. He feels like that right now. He's heading into adulthood, you know what I mean? And he's trying to figure out, where am I going to school? And that girl's cute. Should I ask her out? You know, that he's doing teenage life. And I just felt like the Lord said, that's how your son feels. But then I felt like he also said this. A lot of people in church feel this feeling. And I thought, man, I never feel like this. I don't ever feel anxious. It's just not the way I'm wired. So I got up at 3 o'clock and I went downstairs and just started listening, praying. And as I was praying, I really felt this sense of God's peace. Like, I need you to really listen for the next season. I need you to pay attention because there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen fast and it's all going to be good, but you need to do what I tell you to do. Don't hold anything too tightly. How many of you guys hold on to life real tight? My job, my thing, my car, my business, my kids. And God's saying, there, none of that belongs to you. It all belongs to me. I entrusted it to you. Don't hold on so tightly. So I went downstairs and started praying and studying and trying to listen. Like, God, what are you saying for us as a church, for the people this morning? What are you saying? And it was this, just tell them to hold on a little bit looser. Because when you hold on tight, that is born out of control. Moses is delayed. We don't know where he went. Let's make a cow so that we have a God to worship. None of you in the room are going to go in your garage after church today, carve something or melt something and start worshiping it. I get that. But you know how we do that in our hearts? We don't listen. We move before God says go. We don't stay patient and wait. We make decisions on our experiences and resources instead of on God's timing. Can I tell you a secret to life? You will work super hard if you're moving in your own timing. And life is way easier when it's God's timing. You know, so in the middle of all of this, like wrestling with God, I'll tell you a little bit of what the 142 will be. I felt like the Lord said, you need to return to people. Now I'm a pastor. I'm around people all the time. You guys get that? I'm around most of you all the time. By the way, I love what I do. I really do. Like, I joke about it. I tease you guys a lot, don't I? Come on, you guys. I tease you a lot, don't I? Tell you that I love being a pastor except for y'all. You know, that's not true, actually. I wouldn't be a pastor without all of you. But the Lord was just really saying, I need you to be about people. And I need your church to be about people. I mean, my wife and I were talking about this over coffee yesterday morning before I went off to school. And she said, you know, I feel like you need to reengage, especially, and she even named a few names, some people that you need to pull and walk with. And so this morning when I was up early praying, I felt like the Lord said this to me. I need you to stop building your church and start building people again. You know, the truth is this. I don't think I ever stopped building people. So I have a problem because God's saying one thing and I'm thinking another. Amen? This never happened to anybody else. Okay, you guys are flat. Help me out. Does this ever happen to any of you all? You think you're doing fine and God is saying, hey, pay attention. And I felt like God said, no, you're too worried about building the thing instead of building them. I need you to build them. The thing will build itself. See, the Bible says this, that every single one of you is sitting in the room right now because God put you there. God says he adds people to the body as he sees fit. So when I'm running around real busy trying to be the administrator and figure out where everything's at, and God's going, you're working way too hard. That's my job. Your job is to love people and to care for them and to teach other people to love people and to care for them. So two of my cows, you lean to your experience and you keep trying to build the thing. Instead of just loving me and building people, wait, listen, let God speak, move when he speaks. Listen, when he does speak, you have to do what? You got to move. When God says go, you've got to do what? Listen, there's stuff coming up that I'll share with you next Sunday night. When God says move, you've got to do what? You've got to go. God says take the opportunity, step into the thing, take the new job. You've got to do what? Okay, that's one of you. You got to do what?
Go!
Listen, the truth is this. We all function with a level of fear because we're not certain that we're hearing God. But when you don't, you'll make idols and you'll worship them and they'll distract you. What's super cool about God, what is super cool about God is this. How many of you guys are way messed up? Look around. You're in good company. Everybody has messed up. How many of you know that God is still mad about you, crazy in love with you, wants to use your life, wants to be, you're like, yeah, but I'm still stuck with depression, Pastor. That's okay. Keep giving it to God till he frees you. I'm still stuck in this lousy job, or geez, Pastor, I need a job, or I got this lousy husband or this lousy wife and these kids of mine. I hear it all. You keep staying in faith. You keep listening to God. And you'll watch him do things that you could never do with all your anxiety and worry. You sit patient, listen. When he says move, you've got to do what? Got to move. You have to go where God is going. Otherwise, it'll build false worship, sacred cows. You'll get all kinds of crazy stuff happening in your life. So I actually want to wrap this up because we're going to take communion. So I want to actually, if I could invite the band. So we're going to kind of set this up, start to close a little bit. Now listen, I'm going to assume something right now, that all of you people are smart people. No, I don't mean that condescendingly at all. I'm going to assume something. You're all smart. Look at your neighbor, say, you're smart. You're smart. And I'm not saying that to just be flippant. Listen, you have the Spirit of God living in you, the God who is all wise. You are what? You're smart. You're smart enough to know the places that God is poking at you. Amen? I don't need to go, listen, your house is a sacred cow and your car and that girl. I don't need to do that. You're not stupid. You have the Spirit of God living in you that you just need to soften your heart and listen to. So I'm on the phone with my mother-in-law. And I love my mother-in-law. She's amazing. I mean, she's a prayer warrior. She's one of my intercessors. I mean, just if you get to know her, if you know my mother-in-law, she's really a beautiful person. My wife is cut off the block. I love it. They're both very, very amazing women. Well, I was on the phone with her the other day and talking about church life stuff. That's kind of what we do. She's like, how can I pray for you? And I dump on her and then she prays. Pretty cool. So while that's happening, I look outside and like 3 days earlier, I said to my son, hey, turn off the porch light. Because somebody went outside the garage door, you know the one you never use? And they flipped the light on. So the porch light was burning 3 days. So I look, I'm like, electricity, stupid kids wasting my money. So that's what's going on. No one else is home. I'm on the phone. I go into the garage. My garage is a maze. It's not like a garage you can walk through. It is a mess. I know it represents me a little bit, but hey, it is. And so I'm trying to get into the garage. And so we've got like the washer and dryer, and there's like a fence thing. And the fence thing is like a cage to keep the dog in when it's raining. So there's a curtain thing, and I kind of scoot around the curtain thing. But the dog thing has now got bikes in it. You know, you guys have stuff where, you know what I'm saying. So I'm doing and I'm a fat guy now, so I'm doing that thing, you know, I'm trying to get by. And so I get over to the light switch, and I'm talking to my mother-in-law. So I'm doing the, like, whoop, you know, kind of getting through and holding the phone. And I flip the light switch, and I'm coming back. And as I scoot, I go to lift my pant leg hooks, the pedal. And so I'm on the phone with her, and she's talking. She talks. I'm serious. She's talking. I hope she listens. She'll laugh. She's talking. And I'm like, my pant leg hooks. And I fall, and I land on the fence thing. Like bruising the hand, and my phone flies and it lands in the trash can. I think that was prophetic from God. I don't know. It's in the trash can, and I'm like, oh, and I'm like cursing the bike, and then I want to throw the phone, and I'm a pastor. I'm not allowed to say bad words, but I want to. And I grab the phone out of the trash, I pick it up, and Mom didn't even stop. She's still talking. She is. I didn't even tell her I fell. And this morning while I was studying, the Lord says, you realize your life is like that, and so is all of theirs. You fall and you fall forward and you just get up and you keep going to me. That's true for every single one of you. You just fall. You can't fail in God. There's no failure in God. Like, that is maybe perhaps my most favorite thing. Like, I remember God calling me to be a pastor. I'm like, how stupid is this? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And he says, you just trust me, follow me. Listen, 2 weeks ago was 10 years. 10 years. You know, I got to be honest, it makes me a little emotional. 10 years. When you dream of serving God and you get to do it. 10 years. And I kind of sat back and I went, wow, thank you, Lord. You really are amazing. And then, you know, and then my mind immediately wants to do this. Look at all the stupid things you've done. And I went, and look at all the things I did right. Look at all the successes. Look at all the lives that have been touched. Look at all the dumb cows we made, and God said, throw it away. Look at those and remember not to do that again. You know, and so I just found my heart wrestling around with this idea, like, God, man, we can't fail in you, can we? And he said, no, you can't. I just need you to keep your heart purposed toward listening to me. I need you to ask me, are there any of those fake cows in your life that you're worshiping? Because I need to take those out so that you can really do and be free with all that I've called you to do. Listen, many of you are right there. You're right there. There's things in your life that really hinder you from just being free with God. You know, listen, I consider it truly the most amazing privilege to be your pastor. I really do. Sometimes I'm so humbled by the idea that God would use me, a little pot-smoking drug dealer, and now I'm a pastor, and it's crazy. You're still, you all follow me. That's wild to me. And I'm humbled by that. And I think to myself, I'm just that kid on the phone, 51 years old, falling over the bike, falling forward over and over. That's you. That's your life. And God is trying to get you to see that. So many of you live with this sense of condemnation. And God is trying to identify things so, because he wants you to be free. You get that? Like when God said you lean to your experience, he wasn't saying bad James. He's like, listen, you're making it way too hard, son. You just need to sit back and let me do some life for you. Walk where I lead and it'll be way easier than you trying to figure it out. That's a blessing, isn't it? So listen, church, we're going to sing a song together. And I want this to just be a few moments with you and God before we take communion. And this is it. I just want you to ask the Lord, where are the things that I've called sacred that you don't? What are the things that hinder me from following you and listening to you and just walking in freedom? And just listen to what he says. I trust the Holy Spirit's going to show you what you need to know. Because as I said earlier, you have the wisdom of God in you. You are not stupid people. So let's just take a moment, sing a song, and then we're going to take communion together afterwards. I'd like to ask a few of you to come and serve the rest of us communion, and then we'll take together. Jesus, we want to just say thank you. When we have moments where we just kind of silence all the noise of just life and its busyness, and we listen, that you will, in fact, lead us into life and liberty, because that's what you desire to do. And God, as we consider the idea that we could be worshiping something other than you, we just have to say that we're sorry for anything that's just missed, that's just wrong. God, we ask that you'd forgive us. And Jesus, we do want to declare that not only are you worthy of our praise, but you're worthy of our worship. And I pray that you would help us to be focused and recommitted on you and where you're leading each one of our lives. And I pray that you would help us to listen to you. You know, and I just feel led to pray over a few areas as we prepare to take communion. And, you know, God, if you're struggling with control, just agree with the prayer. I'm just going to pray it. God, I pray that you would release us from trying to be in control of our own lives. And God, that you would set us free from fear and how it makes us so so unsettled and lacking peace. God, I pray for freedom from anxiety and anxiousness. And God, I pray that you would raise up faith in us and the ability to just rest in you. God, we know this, that Hebrews 4:13 says that you see everything that's going on inside of our hearts. There's nothing that isn't laid bare before you. Oh God, we just want to be honest with you. Would you free us from the things that we're holding too highly or gripping too tightly? And let us walk in freedom with you, God. We just offer ourselves to you. Say, Jesus, be our Lord. We want to receive all of the work that you performed on the cross. Your body was broken so that we could walk in freedom, and we want that right now. So God, we commit to you. ourselves. We are honest in saying that we know we miss it, and we know that you love us and that you restore us. And that's what taking communion is about, reminding ourselves that you're a faithful, forgiving, and gracious God. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, when you guys get together, remember what this means, that my body was broken for you. Go ahead and eat. And Jesus, we also thank you for the cup, that it symbolizes the blood of Christ, which breaks all the work of darkness in each one of our lives. It broke the work of hell. It broke the work of sin. And it cleanses us from our sins. And God, we need that and we want that. Jesus, after he blessed the bread, he took the cup and he declared to the disciples that this is an everlasting covenant for just eternal, full removal of sin. But God, we bring our junk to you. We know we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from our sins. And as we take the cup, we take it understanding that that's what it means, that we're agreeing with your everlasting covenant. We want to say thank you for it. Go ahead and drink. You know, I feel led to do something a little differently. I'm going to invite the ministry team and ask you all to stand. And I'm going to pray you out, but the ministry team is going to be available. So if you're here this morning and you want somebody to partner in prayer with you, they're going to make themselves available. And worship team is going to play through this song again. But once I pray, you're not obligated to stay further. But if you do decide to leave, I'd ask you to do it quietly. Because I do think that there's some people here this morning that are battling with fear and uncertainty and trying to stay in control. And they probably could really use a partnership of prayer for the battle or the struggle that they're in. So, Father, we want to come before you and just say thank you for this morning. And thank you for what you did for each and every one of us by liberating us and setting us free because of your work on the cross. And God, as we go, I pray that we would go and that you would keep us walking in freedom, listening to your voice, God. I pray especially for those who are in a season where they need to hear what you're saying. God, I pray that you'd speak to them, that you do it through your word, that you do it in that still small voice, that you would use other people, that it would be undeniable that you're leading them. And God, for those who will receive prayer in just a minute, I just pray that you would just bless their socks off. I pray that you would meet them at the point of saying, yes, I need help. To just encourage them, bring them peace, lift them up, and give them courage. God, thank you for the privilege of worshiping this morning. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, they're going to keep worshiping. If you need prayer, please come on forward. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.